I'm Goran Solevsky. I wrote and directed Housekeeping for Beginners.
Awesome. Well, even before jumping straight into that, one of my favorite and one of our whole website's favorite movies from last year was Of an Age, and there's a lot of similarities in certain ways between these two movies. And I want to start with a particular curiosity I've had. Both movies take place a lot in really confined spaces. Of an Age in a car, Housekeeping for Beginners in a very crowded, not so large home. And I'm curious, is there something particular about these tight, crowded spaces that you're drawn to?
Well, I think in both cases, it's sort of documenting particular places at a particular time that I lived in. They're not films that are autobiographical in a traditional sense, but emotionally and in other ways, they capture facets of my life. And I grew up in an extremely crowded household, a way more crowded one actually, in Macedonia. And then when I was 12, I moved to Australia, where most of your life is spent in a car while your parents are driving you places most of the time. It's going from somewhere extremely crowded to somewhere extremely sort of remote almost, and like very spread out, but you still end up like in a car a lot of the time. And I think a lot of people who respond to Of an Age because it feels like their story, it's probably because it honors these realities that kids in a suburban sprawl grow up with. And what's been wonderful with Housekeeping for Beginners, on the other hand, is that like when people watch it in countries like Macedonia, where you don't have the socioeconomic option to have a room to yourself most of the time, or a house, much less a house to yourself, they really respond to the fact that it feels like real life. It feels like what day to day life is in their own houses, in their own families, no matter what walks of life or sexualities they happen to come from.
Yeah, I certainly for the of an age, that's the connection I felt. And it felt very similar in that way. I think there's an old song lyric that hit me with both of these movies particularly. It goes, we learned about love in the back of a Dodge. I guess the lesson hadn't gone too far. And it's this idea that I think of an age that kind of agrees with of like, yeah, we had this really small, tight space, and it's really easy to love someone when you're really close. But in Housekeeping for Beginners, I think it kind of is the opposite, where over time and space, there's distance growing, but we see that love growing deeper. What is there something with this, is something particular about this non-traditional extended queer family that's part of why that might be the case, or just
I mean, I think, things are changing, but like, when you set out in life as a queer person, you kind of do end up forging your path and needing to, really just out of necessity, because there's fewer role models, especially in some of these other communities outside of, the economically developed West. So you're kind of figuring things out as you're going along, and the traditional norms don't really fit. And then that can be, unmooring and unsettling, but it also comes with a bonus of you going like, what are my actual needs and how do I build a life that fulfills me and the people around me? And what are the things I can borrow from, mainstream society, and what are the things I can at least discard, because I when it's a conscious choice, you don't have to absorb all of these mainstream dynamics along with the bullshit that isn't necessary and that complicates matters, so like I think the benefit of like having looser gender roles is extreme. And I think it's a gift that most of us on the queer end of the spectrum kind of just like, even if intellectually you're not prepared for it, like life makes you prepare for it. And I think you're richer for it, to be honest. So yeah.
Is there what would you say to people who didn't grow up in a crowded home, a crowded space like this? What should people understand about that maybe isn't automatic to if you haven't grown up in that kind of space or haven't lived in that kind of space?
I think to me it's also just like just consider this is normality for most people in the world. And also I think there are fun aspects to it, as much as like it might seem confronting. Like I think just to realize that for most people, this is what comes with a sense of home. You know, like as much as it might seem strange, to some people, this is what doesn't seem strange. And like watching lives happen on, I don't know, I'm sure there's a more contemporary reference, but let's say Beverly Hills 90210, my day back when I was a teenager, it wasn't like watching what I would have thought a normal family is. That's like, it's just these spaces you often see on TV and film often belong to people who are really well off, even when they're complaining about how broke they are. The way you can tell a rich kid in the arts is they're always complaining about how broke they are. Like, if they're broke, usually most people don't talk about it. So I think it's just about that. And I think, like, the fact that, you know, what might be a little bit confronting abrasive about this kind of space, to a lot of people, this is just what normality feels like. And there's a way to, like, absorb it and find richness in it and emotional, like, solace.
The title Housekeeping for Beginners makes it sound like it's a guidebook almost, as is the way that I've always read the name of this movie, as I've been anticipating it for ever since I first heard about it. If this was a guidebook, if this is meant to be a guide, what's rule number one? What's the most important thing about holding a family together like this?
Rule number one is there are no rules. You need to figure them out for yourself rather than look to other people, you know. Actually, the tagline in the original poster in Europe was, we're going to need new rules. And that's, I think, what the film is really about. And again, as I said, that can be confronting or unmooring, but it can also be liberating and enriching. The title is a little bit tongue-in-cheek because, like, they're really... I think also, again, there's a benefit when you know you're a beginner at something rather than when you're assuming that you aren't, because you can mess up a lot of things when you think that you're right about something because it's been done in a certain way for many years. I think just keeping open and going, there's no rules, so what are we going to do?
I love that. That is very fitting of the movie for sure. Switching gears a little bit, something that... interests me about a lot of directors and a lot of films, but I know has been common in between at least these last two of yours, is that it seems like a lot of the actors that you worked with are folks who either have no acting experience or very little prior screen experience. I'm curious if, one, this is like on purpose, and two, if what working with folks who have not as much experience as we as an audience are used to in Hollywood filmmaking.
It's not like by design. It's often because of the nature of the stories, you know, that I get excited by. Like I said, there's, you know, almost no trained Roma actors in all of Macedonia. So if you write a story about how the cast is Roma, you're gonna have to be open, you know, to what the experience is gonna bring. And also what's wonderful is, like, you know, when a production is reading the script, the people who are going to logistically be working on this film, like, at least it's in the story. So you don't have to, like, explain why you want to go out of, like, the ordinary parameters when you're looking for talent. Like, it's like, well, we have to anyway. So we're going to have to, you know, work harder and longer for this and organize a way to make it viable. But I think in terms of working with non-trained actors versus trained ones, like, it is very different, but, like, it's taught me a lot of, like, it's changed the way I work with trained actors as well, because it's less about telling them what to do. It's more about organizing an environment around them and so that they feel emotionally safe at all times. They feel like they can fuck up and there's no one, like, waiting to say, no, you did that wrong. You know, like, it's a more nurturing approach. I'm mom on set, like, you know. We kind of have a setup with my producers on each of the three films where, like, the producer is dad and I'm mom. Like, I'm literally walking around with, like, muesli bars in my pocket in case, like, one of the actors is hungry. And I think, you know, like, that experience, like, was partly shaped by working with non-actors even in short films before I did features. But then, like, it taught me to do the same approach with trained actors. And, like, you know, I think trained actors might require that you, you know, give them more space just in general, like, maybe don't ask questions or, like, quite as much, because, you know, they also need to feel like they are in control, in the sense that, like, they need to feel like they're capable. And if you're constantly, like, asking them and helping them, that might get invasive, you know? So I think, whereas I think with non-actors, they really want you to be around at all times. So there's a subtle difference. But beyond that, that element of nurturing and creating an environment, giving them, like, even just giving them the freedom to improvise, because they end up, like, often saying literally what's written, but in that freedom, like, they feel less rushed, so they kind of figure out their own emotional logic between the various lines of dialogue and, you know, stage directions. So then it all kind of feels more organic and authentic and natural, rather than people just hitting marks and hitting lines. And yeah, in some ways, like, I think working with the different people is actually very similar. But yeah, I think there are benefits to both sides.
The cast has, to me, a really strong chemistry across all of the members of this large extended family. Is there, like, a secret to getting the on-screen chemistry to look and feel like it's as genuine as it does between the different ages of the actors and the experiences and the language barriers that I imagine there were between some folks?
I don't know. I think there's probably like 8 million secrets, and they're not really secret, but you're just kind of working off instinct, you know. I think what was great with this film, and actually on the previous two as well, I've been very lucky, is that, like, all of the crew as well, but all of the actors on screen kind of came into it very much plugged into, like, we need to make this film great, and we love it, and, like, it, nothing is just about me. Like, when I always see the film as the director and me as someone who's just serving it, you know? And I think what was great with all of the actors is, like, for the film to work, we all need to have a sense of family anyway, you know? And also, just, like, never mind the film, like, you hope the film's going to be good, but let's just make sure the experience of shooting it is as pleasant as we humanly can make it. And I think going with an open approach and looking for things to connect with other people, and just, like, everyone was kind of prioritizing everyone else over themselves quite often, like, prioritizing everyone else's well-being, and, you know, and especially, like, the more experienced actors on screen, Alina, who plays Suada, Ana Maria, who's Dita, and Vladimir, who plays Tony, like, they were kind of like my fellow parents on set, like, very much, and just kind of almost, like, thought about themselves last. It was always, like, make sure everyone else is comfortable, like, make sure that we have their takes, that they've done, that they feel like they've done the best they possibly could, you know. All these actors were, you know, putting themselves emotionally, like, on the line, even when they were off screen, just so the person on screen could have something to bounce off of and connect with. And I think when you're working with people who are invested in the other person more than they are in themselves, then that's how chemistry happens. It's also not about, like, how they're delivering their lines. It's about, like, the fact that when there's in-between dialogue, in the silences, they're not putting on their selfie face. They're literally paying attention to the other person and what they're going to do and how they feel while things are being said, you know, and then chemistry happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question. It's a little bit of a silly question, but do you see Housekeeping for Beginners as a happy movie or a sad movie?
Or somewhere in between? I think most of it is happy, but is life both of these things? I mean, no one's life is a social realist, Euro misery drama, you know, every day. Like, I think you have to have all the shades of the, you know, emotional spectrum. And especially in this case, because this is a dark story in a dark context in many ways, like, it was something that you could just kind of establish and not really have to dwell on. So looking at, you know, building a picture of that day-to-day life and these relationships, like, I was for the joy and the humor and the singing and the craziness. Like, I think that's fun to watch. I want most of the film to feel like, you know, something that's fun to watch. And then it'll make you cry a few times. Yes, there is that. It'll make you tense a couple of times as well, for sure. But, you know, all colors of the emotional rainbow represented on screen. Because that's what life is like. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks very much. This was fun.